Welcome to Get a Grip with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to the Get a Grip podcast. I am Shane Bacon. Got a fun one for you on this Friday. Claire Rogers is back. Golf.com. I mean, you follow her on social, you should. One of the more fun and creative people in golf media right now. And we did five things that you'd like to see changed in golf. And it wasn't specific to professional golf or to your own personal experiences. It was just five things you'd like to see changed in our sport. And we were kind of all over the place, and it was a fun conversation. So I think you're going to be a big fan of that. A couple things before we get to Claire, and I'm just going to continue to pound this in your ear until you either order it or don't. I wrote a children's golf book. It's called The Golfer's Zoo, and it is awesome for a Father's Day gift coming up, or even a Mother's Day gift. We're just a couple weeks away from Mother's Day, and you probably haven't thought about that. You probably haven't bought a card or something for mom. Get her the Golfer's Zoo. Go to back9press.com/bacon. You can order a Golfer's Zoo there. We even have signed copies. And you know what goes good with a children's book? A nice cup of coffee. I'm having coffee right now. Having a wonderful Bacon's Breakfast Blend from Good Walk Coffee Company. You can order this, subscribe to it. It is lovely. Everybody that drinks it, they always seem surprised. Like, this is really good. Like, well, I'm not gonna team up with a company that doesn't make great coffee. Come on, coffee is one of the great parts of being an adult. So you can order this. As I said, you can also subscribe to it. goodwalkcoffee.com/bacon is where you can go for that. And like I said, I think you're gonna enjoy it. They have whole bean. They've got ground. I do the toddy cold brew system a lot, and occasionally I'll make it hot as well. But you know, it's about to be cold coffee weather. We're not quite there yet in the Northeast. I'm kind of waiting for it, but. All right, that's enough for me kind of rambling on some of the stuff I think you should purchase or get involved in. Hope you guys have had a good week. Hope you guys are getting out and playing a little bit of golf this weekend. Let's get to our five things that we'd like to see changed in golf. Well, we welcome back, really, the star of this podcast, Claire Rogers, golf.com. Claire, we were joking a bit before we got going. I mean, you've graduated to headphones now. I mean, we're moving on up. This is like a big deal.
Maybe I'll have a mic in the next 12 to 15 months. I don't want to, you know, do it all at once, but just like small changes and small improvements.
For incremental moments. It's been a minute. How have you been? You've been all over the place. You've been traveling. You were at the Masters. How is life? Is it felt like busy? Has it felt fun? How's it been over the last couple of months?
It has felt very busy in the best way. I think I've already done 4 full weeks on the road plus like 3 other, you know, half week trips. So it's been a lot, but I am on a 3-week stretch of no travel right now. So I had, got home from the Masters, had a couple weeks. Then I went to Vegas for the 8 a.m. Celebrity Invitational.
Looks fun, by the way.
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. And now home until the PGA. So.
Yeah, Rochester is my next event as well. I'm going to drive. Are you flying or driving?
Okay, I was going to drive, but there is an extenuating circumstance.
Uh-oh.
So I have to leave early because I'm going to the Taylor Swift concert on Saturday night.
I saw this on Twitter. That's right.
Yes. And I was like, I'm not driving 6 hours home to, you know, I need to be ready to go on Saturday. So I am flying, but I don't. I had a group of friends from Rochester in college, and they all were like, you should be driving, but whatever. If worst comes to worst, I'll drive.
How is the conversation with your boss when you say, hey, listen, on Saturday at the PGA Championship, if it's okay, I'm going to peace out and go to Taylor Swift. How did that conversation, was it an email?
No,
was it a call?
Luckily, I've gotten very close with everyone at golf.com. If this were a year ago, I'd be like, all right, I'm just not going to go to the Taylor Swift concert, not say a word.
Right.
I'm not missing this thing. I was like, I would rather miss an entire week of the PGA Championship. And you know, I love going to golf tournaments, but I'm not missing this. If everyone is going or trying to get tickets. So it was, I kind of said it as a joke. I was like, just so you know, I forget where I was. It was in person. And my boss was like, okay, yeah, whatever, that's fine. I was like, all right. But I keep bringing it up.
You're like, I'm not writing a gamer. I'm not writing the recap post for the website. I mean, you know, my work will be done. I totally understand.
Exactly.
That.
And I keep bringing it up because I don't want anyone to forget and then be like, what happened? So I'm like, oh, found my Taylor Swift outfit, guys. Just so no one forgets. but yeah, it'll be good.
My sister and my nephew just went in the Charleston area, and my sister called me and she said, this girl goes for 3 hours and doesn't stop and changes. And she said it was absolutely, I mean, my sister's not one to get like overly excited about anything really.
Right.
And she said it was incredible the amount of stamina that Taylor Swift had in that concert. And she was actually floored by it.
JJ Watt went to an early one with his family and he said the exact same thing. He said it was insane to see. So I'm very excited. I'm going with my entire family. So it'll be very fun.
What do you think the amount of Taylor Swift songs that you know by heart are at the concert? Do you think it's going to be like 60-70%? What are you leaning?
Like 95 probably.
Oh wow, okay. So that high. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll know almost all of them.
Yeah.
It'll almost take a new song to throw you a curveball.
Exactly. So it'll be very fun.
Okay, so obviously you're listening to this and I know, I mean, I'm imagining you probably care at least slightly about Taylor Swift, but you probably care a little bit more about golf. Claire, I sent you a message a couple of days ago and I said, would you be down to do a pod on 5 changes you'd like to see in golf? And these aren't necessarily professional golf changes or personal golf changes or country club changes. They can be across the board. My list is a bit all over the place. I can imagine yours is as well. But, you know, I had a lot of fun diving into the list and I came up with a couple I would have never thought of. So I'm pretty excited about it. How was it going through your kind of 5 things?
This was fun because, you know, a couple of things in professional golf, but then I started thinking about my junior golf days and problems or things that seem to always come up. So I'm kind of all over the board too, which I'm very excited about.
Well, Claire, I'm going to let you start. I'm going to let you kick off 5 things you'd like to see changed in golf. The podcast that everybody's going to be listening to. And obviously, Taylor Swift, you know, started us off, but what is number 1 on your list?
The LPGA travel schedule.
This is a great jumping off point, Claire. I'm very impressed already.
Thank you so much. They start in Florida. Then they go to Thailand. Then they go to Singapore, to China, to Arizona. Right now, they're kind of like in the United States. But again, it's coast to coast. Shane, I don't know about you. When I travel for an event to work.
Not to play, to work, right.
I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. Yeah. I need to be at home, horizontal on the couch working for at least 4 days when I get back. They're the longest days. These women are, you know, they have to perform at the highest level. Traveling takes such a toll on your body and like recovery time and jet lag and all this stuff. It is insane to me that they are just going truly across the globe every single week. And I cannot wrap my mind around it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's so logical, Claire, your point here. It's just simply concentrate the events. I mean, if you're going to do the Asia swing, mm-hmm. and let's not go back. If you're going to do West Coast, let's do West Coast. You know, the PGA Tour does this. Obviously, it starts in Hawaii and just kind of slowly moves east, right?
Yes.
The men do. And I mean, you know, I mean, the one thing about the LPGA Tour versus the PGA Tour is everybody has seen the difference in money and the difference in earnings, and it's not as easy to fly private, and it's not as easy to, you know, jump on the wheels up like we saw in Full Swing with Jordan and Justin and go play a practice round. And so this is a brilliant one, and I love you diving a little bit deeper in terms of the scheduling, because if you made this easier on everybody, you'd see better golf, and that's what we want to see.
Yes, and again, all of my coworkers, act as if I've just, I don't even know, like been under the knife or something when I get back from an event. And I cannot imagine, even when I go back-to-back weeks, especially, I'm dead. And I went from what, LA or Arizona to LA? That's an hour flight. So this needs to change because it's not fair to them.
It's not 12 hours on a flight. Yes.
Yeah.
This is a great point. And I'm right there with you, Claire. I mean, when you have children, the ability to lay horizontal on a couch kind of goes away.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, and the problem is that I'll return from a week like Masters week, right? And I was very busy and it was a great week, but you know, you're exhausted. I mean, you put everything into that week as a person in the media space, just like players do. When you return home, it's a bit of a come down.
Yep.
And you want to take a day or two to just kind of take it in. Unfortunately, Henry's like, come on, Dad, let's go do this. I'm like, bro, can I do the couch for a minute? But that kind of goes away. And then hey, I don't think Cindy's going to buy. You know what? I'm a little tired.
I've
been watching children for 8 days, but I'm right there with you. This is a great one to start with. I think it's very, very smart. And I hope it's something that the LPGA is actually looking at, because I think it goes back to what do you want to see? And you want to see everybody in kind of the best mental space, best physical space. You want them to go out there and compete and really play well. And, you know, I think about the PGA Tour, and obviously, as we mentioned, the travel on the PGA Tour is easier, but you're going to hear players at the Travelers complaining about having to play back-to-back weeks and having to move from the West Coast to the East Coast and following a U.S. Open, a little bit like we heard early on the week at the RBC. And these are 4 or 5 hour flights, Claire. This isn't, you know, 12, 13, 14 hour flights.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot. So what was your first one?
All right. So my first one is something I've talked a little bit about on social media over the years. I've never understood it. I don't know who came up with it. It seems ridiculous and silly. It's the hole in one drink thing.
Oh,
you make a hole in one and you pay for the drink. Doesn't make any sense. Somebody should be buying you a drink. If you're lucky as a golfer, you make one in your life, and then all of a sudden it costs you $200 or $300. I should be receiving the gifts. It's like your wedding. At your wedding, you don't buy everybody else gifts, right? You get the gifts yourself. You just accomplish something everybody in golf wants to accomplish, and you've got to go put your credit card down. I'm anti that. I think it's stupid. I think it's silly, and I think it needs changing.
You have to like sell your house and your car just to afford your hole in one.
I mean, some of these country club bills, Claire, you know, insane. I mean, you see, and I know they have insurance, and a lot of these places have insurance, but I remember when I joined Phoenix Country Club years ago, my best buddy joined, he was like the number before me. And Andrew, it was like Thanksgiving Friday, which in Arizona is like a crazy busy golf day. Everybody's playing. And he hit it on the lip on a par three. And one of the members said, you know, you're lucky that didn't go in, because he hadn't signed up for the insurance yet. He was like, this would have been, you know, a couple $1,000 bill for you if that would have gone. Because again, the country clubs will cover that if you buy into it. But when you're a new member and you hadn't had time to do that. So I've been on this, you know, I mean, I've been on this pedestal for a long time with the ace thing, and I don't totally understand it. I will say, when you make an ace, you're excited about buying people drinks, but you should still be, you should still be receiving, you know, the flowers, I think.
Yeah, I think that's very good. It's like, also for me, I'm not a great player, so obviously I want to make one, but it would be funny to be that good, be like, oh my gosh, thank God that didn't go in.
I mean, you know, think about that. You know, you just signed up for country club, you put down a down payment, you know, your dues are starting to come, and all of a sudden you get hit with $2,000 bill. You're like, sweet, man, this is cool. I love this already. Right. All right. What do you got next?
Okay. This actually, you're a lefty, right?
I am.
Okay. I have this memory of junior golf, my lefty friends, it was impossible for them to find new clubs.
Yes.
I remember they would have to get specially ordered, and then you would, like, Dick's Sporting Goods wouldn't have them, and then the pro shop wouldn't have them. And then, so they have to special order them. But in the meantime, you might have to find like your neighbor's friends, kids, clubs from when they were little. It was like, who knows a lefty? And I was like, this isn't like contraband at a golf course. They need to have more. I'm not even a lefty. And it was always an issue. They're like, oh, Maddie can't play this week. She doesn't have her clubs. And I just don't understand why it's such a rare thing to be able to find left-handed junior clubs.
I mean, there's certain brands that have kind of, they've kind of dove into the lefty thing, where they've done a better job over the last 10, 15 years in terms of making the same stuff lefty. I was just talking to Ping about this, and they were saying they basically make everything lefty that they make righty now. But in my years growing up, Claire, this is exactly right. I mean, you'd see the clubs Tiger'd play, or, you know, Adam Scott and people like that, and you couldn't get them. I mean, you literally couldn't get them. And then the junior golf club world, I mean, you almost had to go borrow a lefty dad's clubs and cut them down, which isn't going to play into your game anyway. So the lefty thing was, the clubs were always tough. The best thing about a lefty, Claire, is the driving range, because when you get to a driving range, the left side of the range area is always in epic shape, because nobody's obviously hitting off that. So we kind of trade in the not being able to get golf clubs for the awesome grass at a driving range. But yes, this was a hard thing, especially as a kid, Claire, when you go, you know, you tell your dad like for Christmas, hey, can I get this driver? And he's like, no, you actually can't get this driver. Like, you legitimately know you can't get it. And there were like four, I remember, I think it was Titleist made these forged wedges, and they were like the David Duval and the Vijay Singh. I think they had a Davis Love III. They were so sick, and they were so clean, only righty.
See, but it's good to know that that is improving. I haven't been in the junior golf scheme for a while, but that would always be like such an issue. I just remember it always coming up.
It was also one of the great things about being a lefty, especially when I was younger, was if you met another lefty, I mean, it was like you went through their bag, you know, like you were at like a thrift shop. It was just like, you're like, oh man, what's this three? Oh my God, you had this one? Oh my, this putter's, you know, you'd pull them all out of the bag, you'd hold them up, you'd look at them. Oh, this looks great. It was like we were these kindred spirits of you know, this group of golfers. What's wild is, I think somebody once told me that in Canada, it's like 30% of golfers in Canada are lefty because of the hockey thing, because you kind of play, you know, lefty and righty with the stick.
That makes sense.
But yeah, so there were certain brands that would make golf clubs more available in Canada than you could get in the United States.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'll have to look at the U.S. kids golf website after this and see how well they're doing.
You're gonna dive into it.
Yeah.
All right. I have something that I think you're going to like. I have an idea here that I think you're going to be into. So you think about golf in the United States, right, Claire? And it's private and, you know, it's hard to get into most of the places you want to play. Think about Scotland golf. It's the complete opposite, right? There's only a couple golf courses that you can't play. I want a public golf day in America. This is what I want. Every golf course in America opens up their tee sheet for one day a year. And you have to live locally to kind of put in, like you do for Masters badges. You have to live in the local area. You have to be within a certain amount of miles. So you're obviously giving this out to people that live close. But you put in, you get a spot at Marion or Pine Valley or Cypress Point, and it's an open golf day for everybody to once a year go experience the golf courses that you've always dreamed of playing.
I love that. I think the closest thing to that right now is Caddy Day on Monday, where they can go out and play.
Yes.
But that's, you know, that's the course that you're caddying at. I think that is such a fun idea. But how early would they open up the tee? Like, people would be, not to compare it to Taylor Swift, but it would be like trying to get Taylor Swift tickets or Master, you know. Well, I guess Masters, because then it's a lot. So maybe it's not first come, first serve. It's a lottery system. Is that what you were saying?
I think it's a lottery system. I think you open it up and I think it's a random draw.
I like that.
I think you can charge people a relatively cheap price, like $75, and donate all that money to the community or to junior golf or whatever. And I also love the idea of, if you play the course, so let's say, you know, you live close to Pine Valley and you get a spot at Pine Valley, then you actually can't play it for 5 or 10 more years. So it gives more people an opportunity to go play it. But I think one day a year is not asking too much.
No.
To let everybody, you know, you think about living in Philly, or you think about living in Monterey, or think about living in LA, and you drive by LACC every day, right? And you're a golf nut and you go, man, I'd love to play here one day. Now there's an opportunity. And I mean, how good would this be to promote? This would be an easy thing to promote, and it would be a win for golf. And, you know, you'd see the commercials everywhere, and obviously people could make great content. I mean, Claire, you'd be there at one of these golf courses, like, just producing sick Rogers Report content, I think.
Yeah. Does everyone know about the media lottery for Masters?
I don't know, actually. Right. I mean, you obviously, you know, media members can win in theory a spot to play Augusta on Monday.
Yes. Okay. So everyone who doesn't know that, now you do. There's a rule. Is it 7 years or is it 10 years?
I think it's 7 years where you can't kind of apply after, if you get an invite into the media lottery and you get a spot, which is brilliant.
Which, again, we can just model it after this.
Yeah.
My coworker, Darren, first time at Augusta, got it, which is awesome. He played.
That is awesome.
Now he's like, okay, like, you don't feel the need to play again. That's for a lifetime. You're good, pretty much. So yeah, I think you can kind of just copy that model and apply it, and we'll be good to go for that. I love that idea.
All right, so we're in on public golf day. I think you and I might need to start pushing this. Let's talk to some people. Do you know anybody? Do you know people?
Yeah, I can call the president and things like that, and we'll get it going.
Okay. I know a couple people, not that many though. I know you.
The social person at, you know, USDA first.
Hey, what are your thoughts on this? They're like, I have no clout. I can't do this. Yeah. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I love the idea as well. What's your next on the list?
Being DQ'd for an incorrect scorecard.
Oh, what a great one. Oh, I love you for doing this. So smart.
Thank you. I'm so bad at math that, like, that kind of thing happens to me all the time. And I'm not trying to be dishonest. I always tell my coworkers, like, thank God I've never been sued by, you know, Patrick Reed, because I just, like, do things and I'm not thinking them through. And I'm not trying to be mean or a bad person. I just, like, have ADHD or something. I would just always mess up the scorecard if I were doing that. And I wasn't trying to cheat. I'm just an idiot when it comes to this. So that maybe it was you, maybe it was Kyle Porter. I saw on Twitter, like, you don't see Steph Curry, like, having to add up the score afterwards.
Yeah, their box score, right. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So, but then I think one of the caddies was like, no, you'd be surprised how much, like, miscommunication there is between players, like, not knowing who made what. So it does make sense, obviously, that you go through it. But if you miss one thing and you're not trying to cheat, you should be able to correct it and not be DQ'd.
So your point is more the penalty. Your point is the penalty is too extreme for,
yes,
you know, this, I mean, archaic thing that we still do, even though we have ShotLink and we have, you know, people following every single group around, and we understand exactly where everybody is in terms of scoring. You shouldn't be disqualified because You didn't add up the piece of paper right.
For like having dyslexia or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody knows already what you shot. I mean, that's the point, is we already know where you are. You know, imagine finishing, you know, a putt out on 18 at the PGA, and the stress that comes with making sure your card's right, even though everybody in the world knows you won.
Yes.
They know you won. It's like you said about.
Exactly.
It's a Steph Curry thing. You know, Steph doesn't have to finish the games like, all right, we won by 8. Real quick, though, let me go sign the sheet.
Yeah.
And make sure everything's correct, because I want to make sure my 23 points are there.
Right.
Yes. This is brilliant. This should. I actually think in top tier golf, you could probably do away with the scorecards just in general.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned that a caddy kind of responded to the Porter thing and said there are some issues, which is fine, but maybe you put the onus on the scoring people, like the shot link people, and say your job is to make sure this is correct. And then they get disqualified. Maybe they get kicked out.
Exactly. It's too stressful.
Give me your bib.
Yeah.
Give me your shot link bib. You're out.
Like, I honestly think if I'm a professional golfer, besides the travel, getting to and from places, that would be the most stressful moment of my round.
when I have played well in things, you know, randomly, like played well enough to where I feel like either I'm going to get through a qualifier, or I'm, you know, I put a good round together in a random tournament, I spend so much time, Claire, on the math, like so much time. And I'll add it up. And then I'll do it to par. So I'll look at like 4-4. I'm even 3-4. I'm 1-under. I'll do both ways, but I'm a nut, because the last thing I want to do is grind for 5 hours and get disqualified because I'm not good at math. I haven't math in 20 years, right?
You shouldn't have to be good at math to be a professional golfer. You've got someone else getting yardages for you. You've got someone else, you know, like that shouldn't be a prerequisite to being able to win a golf tournament.
Yes. Claire, I was caddying for a friend of mine on the LPGA tour years ago, and I think it was our second tournament. So I caddied for in Arizona, and I think this was in Houston. It was like the tour championship, and caddying is stressful. I mean, I'm sure you can imagine that caddying in those environments is very stressful, especially when you're not used to it, because there's so much stuff going on. And, you know, you're not trying to get in anybody's way, like other people's way. You're making sure that your player's comfortable and everything's right. So there's so much movement happening. And I remember Erica was standing over the second shot, you know, and I'm doing all the math. Standing over the second shot, she has like 4-iron. And I realized that I added instead of subtracted the number, like the pin sheet number. And I was like, you know, I had this split second. I'm like, oh shit, what do I do? Like, what do I do?
Yeah.
And I just was like, hey, Erica, come here for a second. Like, she walks over to like look at the book, and I've got the book up. And I was like, yeah, I added that instead of subtracted it. I mean, it was like an 8-iron, not a 4-iron, you know? I mean, it was like, I mean, if she'd hit 4-iron, she would have hit it 30 yards over the green. And so luckily I called her off it, but for the rest of my caddy days, I would do like triple check math every single time. That's stressful. That's not fun.
I've caddied before, Shane. This might surprise you. In the Northeast Am, there's always someone who like is like, oh, and it's always like someone who's staying with us or a friend of someone who's staying with us. And they're like, oh, Claire will do it. And I've never really had a choice in it. And I'm like, no, I really don't want to, but I end up doing it. And they're always like, just carry the bag. Because they know I'm not getting your yardages. I'll be off. I'm not, you know, I will smile. I will bring good vibes.
Just care. Please carry the bag. Say something funny every now and again. This is all I'm looking for. This is all I need. I understand. My dad caddied for me a couple weeks ago in US Open local qualifier. And he's like, do you want me to do anything? And I was like, I got it. You know, just hang out and we'll chat. You know, it's fine. I mean, I go through this myself all the time. So let's not throw a wrinkle in it. All right. So one of my next ones, and again, this is a private club thing, but I want this changed like today. I want to be able to change my shoes in the parking lot, and I don't want to get looked at cross-eyed. Like I know it's a private club. I know there are rules, but I don't need a locker. I don't need to go in and get a locker. I don't want to change shoes there. It takes me 7 seconds to change my shoes.
I do it anyway.
In the back of my car.
Do you do it anyways?
Well, I mean, I do. I do it a lot of the time anyway. But you know, like if you do it at a really nice place, I mean, you'll get side eyes.
Yeah.
And I just want to be able to do it. It goes back to, I appreciate you guys looking out for me, and I appreciate you guys wanting to put me up in a nice spot, but I just don't need it. I'm not that fancy.
I totally get that. I was on this golf trip in Maine with Dylan and Sean, and FootJoy was sponsoring it. So we had to have all FootJoy clothes on. And like Dylan had flown in from Seattle. I had driven up. So we're all in this car in the parking lot, and none of us have the clothes on that we need to wear. None of us have the shoes. I'm like, I don't think I can wear leggings and a t-shirt into this course to go change. So we all like took
Right.
turns like getting out of the car and then changing in the car and shoes outside. And yeah, it's just like when I go somewhere, my car is my second home, really. You have so much stuff in there.
Yes. Yes.
Just
yes.
It's fine. It's not, or I'll do it in the driver's seat and that's, you're uncomfortable. So love that.
You're trying to like, it's like you're doing something illegal. Mm-hmm. You're sneaking your spikes on under the steering wheel. It's so weird. I was in Detroit years ago with Joe Buck and we were changing our shoes at a nice club in the parking lot. And I kind of looked at him and said, are we gonna get in trouble for this? And he goes, I never want to play a place where I'm going to get any shit for changing my shoes in the parking lot. And then I needed to change pants. And he said, maybe change pants inside. And I was like, all right, fair enough. That's fair enough. If I'm going to actually change clothes.
But high school golf. Oh my gosh. I was the only girl on my high school golf team. We would get somewhere. I would change, you know, in the bathroom before leaving. The boys would just change in the parking lot from their jeans to their pants. Yeah. That's life. Like, you got to go.
It's like they didn't care.
No, who cares? Whatever.
Oh, hey, if you're the only female on your golf team in high school, are you playing the same tees as the guys or do you get to play a different set of tees? Do you get to play up?
No. Although, okay, yes, get to play up, except there was this one coach. I remember the school. I remember his name. I won't say it. He's probably like the nicest guy ever. We were playing again. It was an all boys team outside of Boston. And he said, no, you're not playing the match.
You have to play back.
And I beat the kid. I'm not a good golfer. This kid was a really bad golfer. Beat him 5-4. And I was like, same tees. it was match play. I probably shot like 55 and still beat this kid. It was like I won the lottery.
Nice.
Oh my God. It was the best feeling ever. But that was the only time I had to play the boys tees. Every other time it was, you know, so yeah.
You could play one up. So my high school golf team was not very good. We were not good. I mean, we had a couple guys that could play and then like our bottom three weren't great.
Uh-huh.
And my golf coach, he's passed away. He was one of the most incredible dudes ever. His name was Coach Buck. And he actually played NFL football.
Oh my God.
Like in like the 50s or something crazy. I mean, when you wear like leather helmets and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was epic. Didn't know a ton about golf, by the way, but he was a really, really lovely soul. And we won this tournament one time. It was, I think it was in like Carthage, Texas. We won it and we're super jazzed up about it. You know, we'd never won anything. And I played well. I think I shot like 73 or 74. And our second guy shot mid 70s, which he never did. And we had another round like 80. You know, it was like pretty consistent golf. We get the trophies, Claire, and it was a JV golf tournament. We were the varsity team, you know, and they like, and my coach Buck's like, don't say anything. And I was like, all right, fair. But I mean, we were so pumped that we'd finally won something and actually got in competition. And it was a JV golf tournament. Like, damn, man. All right. We'll just scratch that out on the trophy and hang that in the room. That was that was a little bit of a kick in the face.
Yeah. Well, this is a public service announcement to anyone who's listening. I think even if you're a kid or you are not a great golfer and your high school team has a golf team, you got to play. It is it's kind of like high school cross country. Just these misfits all coming together. It is.
Yep.
I think it was my favorite experience in all of school. Just being on this team with these like kids it was just the funniest 4 years of my life playing. So loved high school golf.
And you and your point is valid because even like travel, I mean, I lived in Texas. I mean, we would travel in a van like 6 and 7 hours sometimes to golf tournaments.
Yeah.
We'd stay in hotels and things like that. And I mean, you don't always get that, I think, with the team sport. I mean, obviously, if you're on some like elite level football team, you guys might travel a lot. But outside of that, I mean, you're going and playing regional events. I love the fact that we would, you know, we drive to San Antonio sometimes in Houston,
yeah,
and check out those things. What's next? You're up, right? What's next on your list?
Let's see. Fewer carts.
Okay.
I don't think we should abolish carts altogether because I know like as people get older and if you have mobility issues, whatever, but I do think like I hate playing with golf carts. I think my favorite part of golf is connecting with the people, walking, having great conversations. And that is completely taken away when you're in a cart. Like if you're in a foursome,
correct.
You don't even really connect with the other two people at all. And I love the old school look of caddies and kids being able to learn about golf through caddying. And I feel as if that's becoming more rare a lot of places now just because people rather take a cart.
I'm with you on this. I also would probably take it a step further and say, I kind of wish there weren't cart paths. So like, even if you have golf carts, I wish it was a little bit more dirt or you know, something where you could kind of drive around. But I hate the look of cart paths on some of these kind of historic-y golf courses. The thing is, though, I feel like since moving to the Northeast, the walking and caddying thing is way more prevalent than when I lived in Texas or Arizona. I mean, in Arizona, most guys at the club, and I mean, Phoenix Country Club is a very easy walk, but most guys would want to jump in a cart. And I'm with you. I mean, if you're playing, and my other thing is gas carts. So if it's electric carts are pretty quiet. If you're both in gas carts, you never talk to the other people.
Yeah.
Ever. Cause it's so loud when you're driving and, you know, music goes away. And so, yeah, I'm totally with you. I don't love golf carts. I understand why you might need them or why you have to have more if it's an event.
Yeah.
I understand that. But outside of that, just walk, man. I mean, the bags aren't that heavy. Or push cart it.
Then I think, okay, it's probably a million degrees in Arizona. Might be a little difficult to walk. But
yeah, that's a great point. It's a very good point.
I'm like, you know, in New England, I'm like, oh, it's 65 degrees. But yeah, if you can walk and it's not ridiculous weather, walk. And take a caddy if you can.
Yes, and junior caddy. But that's
on like a Saturday. Yes.
That's my new thing, Claire. I do the junior caddies at Brookline now. So these are high school kids. And I'll be on the first tee and say, Are you a golfer? Do you like golf? Are you interested in golf? Do you want to like learn anything? I mean, you know, I'm not Socrates here about golf, but you know, I'm like, do you want to like learn like where to put the bag or,
yeah,
you know, like these types of things, because I caddied, you know, like, just like you said, Claire, you've caddied, I've caddied. I mean, when you've done that job, you can obviously give a little bit of advice out there. And I mean, it's nice to take the junior caddies because, you know, they're typically willing to learn. And that's always a fun thing to be out there for a few hours.
And that's what's the thing, like the Evans Scholars and
yes,
both my brothers got caddy like scholarships for their books and stuff. There's so much opportunity, I think, when you caddy and you get to know, again, like adults like you or someone you can learn something from. So I just think that's a very valuable like high school job or something that you can have. So
Claire, do you consider yourself an adult? You said adults like me. Are you an adult?
Did I say that? No, I'm.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, are you an adult?
I'm a 13-year-old and a 28-year-old body.
Okay. I mean, I think you're an adult.
Are you an adult? An adult.
God. It happens. You know, it's wild. I've been talking to Cindy about this a lot, but that switch from young to old, it feels like it happens within a year or two.
Uh-huh.
And over the last couple of years, I've really felt that switch where, you know, like people like you and the stuff you guys are talking about, you don't quite understand it, or maybe you're not that interested in it.
Oh yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's just has kind of passed you by. And I try to stay up with music. I try to stay up with TV. Like I try to stay up with pop culture, but it's hard. And eventually
it is hard.
You just kind of like almost age out of like really keeping up with like the blogs and the websites on what's going on. And then all of a sudden you feel old.
And then I feel like once you have kids, you're caring for someone else and you're kind of just really kicked into adult mode. Yeah.
You're just tired all the time. It's basically also what it is. All right. So this is something that has been floated about a lot. And I will continue to bang the drum on this. The Tour Championship match play, 16 players qualify. So I was doing some math, Claire. You'd be very impressed by this. So the purse last year at the Tour Championship was $70 million. Okay. $70 million. And obviously that's the FedEx Cup money, right? That's what you win if you win the FedEx Cup. So 16 players qualify. We give $2 million to everybody that qualifies for match play. You get $2 million. Boom. Here you go. Direct deposit. Enjoy yourselves. That leaves us $38 million. We've got $38 million. The winner of the match play gets $20 million. You get $20 million. Second gets $10 million. Third gets $5 million. Fourth, so in theory, the loser of the consolation match gets $3 million. I know money isn't everything, but it's obviously been a big part of what we talked about in golf over the last couple of years. I just feel like when we see match play done right, like in Austin this year, when it was exciting, there was a lot of big names involved, it is the most fun golf to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put the 16 best players over the course of the entire season, give them a ton of money for qualifying for it, and let's have a knockout round. Let's go. Let's see it like March Madness.
I like that a lot. Speaking of match play, though, do you think we need this year? The consolation match was incredible in Austin.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough because it's silly and the players, you don't feel like really care about it, but it helps TV because if you're following, I mean, I broadcasted the US amateur and, you know, the junior amateurs and girls juniors and stuff. When there's one match on TV for 3 or 4 hours, it is a lot of fill. And so,
okay. So you got to be able to bounce.
To have that, just to be able to go to it and to see a little bit of golf is awesome for kind of the TV networks. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how to perfect the constellation matches, Claire, but I feel like there is probably something in there that we could do to make it a little bit more interesting, you know, outside of just giving them more money.
I agree. I just also really like the idea because the tour championship, something needs to change a little bit, I think. So that would be, yes, that would be great.
Just trying to think of anything to make that, you know, the problem with, and again, people love to bag on the FedEx Cup playoffs. I mean, I understand why they exist. I understand why the PGA Tour has invested so much time and money into it. I get all of that, but you're talking about, you know, let's call it the sixth or seventh, maybe eighth most important golf event on the PGA Tour throughout the season. I mean, you got the majors. I always argue RIV is one of, if not one of the best events to watch. It's West Coast. It's early in the season. I've always loved the match play. There's so many events that you can kind of attach yourselves to, especially early in the year. This is late in the season and everybody's a bit exhausted. So if you could throw a wrinkle into it and make it at least different or unique, at least it would give golf fans something to look forward to. And I think right now, you know, you watch it and you care about it, but it's not, you know, like a top seven event to watch.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. My last one is kind of,
I have two.
And then I have my, you asked about what my sister would think. So, okay.
Yes, of course.
These have to do with Tiger.
Okay.
And this is in a, you know, perfect world, I'd take away his injuries, whatever. Okay. So the Masters has done, I think, a great job at kind of social media.
Right.
If you, even if you're not there, you get to see these really cool videos on Instagram and Twitter of what's going on. I know we can't make a private person not private. I want Tiger Woods to start using Instagram stories.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would love it too. I mean, I would love it as well. It's a big ask. You know, I mean, he's never really been that guy.
I see like a story and I'm like, oh, and it's a Pop Stroke ad. I love Pop Stroke, but I'm like, I want to see, you know, give us something. And it doesn't have to be all the time. Maybe it's, you know, we get to see, is Scotty Scheffler is a perfect example. He does maybe one every 3 weeks and it's
one story.
It's crooked and it's weird. Not, it doesn't need to be perfect. Just give me something to like, if we're not going to see you on the course all the time, I need something. You know, when he did the, about winning the PIP with Phil, we get a little bit of personality on Twitter.
Right.
Instagram stories is not asking a lot. Just give me a little something every couple of weeks, show up some personality. That's my number one thing when I'm writing. Jenna Sims gets it. Paulina gets it. Max Homa gets it. Joel gets it. We need a little bit of Tiger.
So, I mean, Phil went down this road and I got to say, Claire, I don't think it ended perfectly for him just to get really, really dialed on social media. I mean, I obviously I'm with you. Do you think Tiger has a burner where he posts stories?
No, I don't think so? Where he posts stories. I think he has a burner probably where he looks at things, but I don't think he posts stories.
Okay. Because I was thinking about yesterday, I looked up somebody's Instagram account, like some famous person. It's so weird when you do that. You feel like such a creeper. But I was looking at some famous person's Instagram account, and it was Adele.
Oh.
And it was nothing interesting. It was all just like corporate, you know, video stuff from concerts and things like that. And I was thinking, well, Adele seems dialed on social. I mean, she's, you know, of the era and of the age. I guarantee you, Adele has an Instagram account that she's posting stories all the time, right?
Yeah.
She seems like that would fit her personality, just doesn't do it on her main account, which got me thinking, I think everybody that's famous probably has this.
Yeah, I would think so, right? Something to...
I mean, it would make sense. I love the idea of Tiger just getting like super deep into social.
Yeah.
Just, like having a TikTok and like getting just to be like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm not playing anymore. I'm just going to do all this stuff. And you're like, this is sweet.
Exactly. And I get that Twitter can get people into trouble. We've seen it with other players, you know, maybe saying the wrong thing or getting into fights. But Instagram, like, take a photo of your dog in the backyard, put it on. Let me screenshot it, zoom in, see what you're doing. When was the last time the lawn was mowed? But like little things like that would give me a little bit of life. And I would like to do that. So.
I mean, and you have a like a full golf course in your backyard. Like, let's see some practice. Like, let's see what you're working on. Was you're getting closer and closer to coming back to professional golf? Are you putting? Are you doing your little putting drill? Maybe explain to the world what the putting drill is, because we've all seen it. Yeah, I like this. We'll float this to Steinberg and see what he thinks. All right, I got a random one. Claire is my last one.
Okay.
So I was thinking about draws. You know, we always talk about draws, like at the Open and when the weather's bad. I think the defending champion of events should get to pick their groups and their tee times. So you should be, and it should be a social announcement. So, you know, like this week, if you're Max Homa, you go, hey, I'm playing with Joel Damon and Justin Thomas, and we're going late early. and you announce it on social, and the PGA Tour could make it a big thing. But give the defending champion something, just something, one little thing, right? There's home court advantage in sports and basketball and hockey and baseball, all those things. It's a slight advantage, right? If you get to play four games at home versus three, I like the idea of the defending champion just getting a one little up. You can look at the weather. You understand it's going to be nasty on Friday afternoon. Well, I'm going to play early Friday because I'm the defending champion. And if you want to get this opportunity, win the tournament.
That is a great idea. And that should be happening more. You see, you know, when Tiger hosts an event, he'll end up playing with JT and whoever. And
he probably puts this in already. This goes back to Tiger on social. Post this as a story, Tiger.
Exactly. And I think that's a wonderful idea. And and it gets people tuned in. Oh, who is he going to pick? He's been playing with Tom Kim a lot. He's been doing this. Is he going to pick his best? Jordan didn't pick JT. What's going on there? You know?
Exactly. There's so much drama that can come from it, even if it's unnecessary drama.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yes.
And then, you know, you could have, like, remember when Max asked Tiger to play a practice round at the US Open at Marion in 2013? You could have young amateurs or college players or rookies vying for this. Hey, Max, I'd love to be a part of your group on Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
I'll make sandwiches. I'll bring sandwiches to the first tee if you pick me in your group, right?
Oh, I like this a lot. Okay, this is a great idea. Definitely a good idea.
Thought that was kind of a random idea and kind of fun. And then I had just the one that we've all talked about forever, and we will continue to talk about until something changes. The President's Cup being six guys, six girls. I mean, what are we doing? Can we just do this already? Be way more fun.
Yeah.
I've listed at times over the years who the players would be. It would be epic. It would be must watch. It would be one of the great golf events of the year. So let's make those changes. All right. So Claire, you asked your sister,
yes,
who you post a lot on Twitter about, not a golfer
getting into it.
How is the knowledge? Because I love when you post the stuff, because there's a lot of explaining on your end.
Yes. She did junior golf and hated it. And
okay.
I'll send you a video of her swing though. It is
it good?
Perfect. Oh, okay. My God. It is, like, it's so annoying. It's
how old is she now?
23.
She's 23. Okay.
Oh, I sent her a screenshot of your text and said, your opinion is, you know, we want your opinion of what you would change with golf. And she said, I'm going to have to think about this.
Okay. Okay.
That was at 10:31. At 10:32.
Oh, she said, okay. So she's thought about it. So yeah. She took a lot of time. Okay, good.
I want to see more LPGA Tour and PGA Tour stuff. I wish they were more connected. This is insightful. The separation of the two makes it seem like they're doing completely different things, but they're playing the same sport. I want an event where they can play scramble. Which confused me, because I was like, how do you know what a scramble is? But whatever. Or whatever, and they're co-ed teams.
I mean, this is a good idea. I like this already.
Where they're co-ed teams. I also want LPGA athletes on Full Swing. Golf isn't a men's sport, and it's made out to be, like, women's feels like an addition, which is the thing that I've actually thought a lot about. There's this girl on TikTok, who was sitting next to someone on a plane, and they said, oh, I'm going to the Final Four or something, or whatever, like going in a month or something. And she said, oh, men's or women? And the guy was like, men's, obviously. And so she really loved that and kind of said, everything, you should always ask which one, to clarify, to make it, you know. And so I kind of like that she said that. And the Full Swing thing, I think, is an awesome idea, because look of how many people who have been exposed to Joel Damon or whoever, and maybe, or Sahith, who wouldn't be, and now think that they're awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I brought this up a lot over the years on podcasts, and we've talked about kind of bringing more women into the men's side of things in terms of golf. And I remember years ago, it was like, I think Tiger and somebody were playing Annika and Kari Webb. And I remember somebody saying, this is the most exposure. It was like a nighttime event under the lights.
Yeah.
And they said, this is the most eyeballs, the most exposure they're ever going to get in terms of professional golf. I mean, I think that gap has kind of tightened a bit. I think you're seeing, mm-hmm, and you look at ratings of, you know, LPGA majors, and they're getting closer and closer in terms of people watching versus the PGA Tour.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, anything we could do, it's the same sport, Claire. I mean, you just talked about it earlier. I mean, you played high school golf on the men's golf team. It's as close of the same sport as any sport out there. And to lean on this and to help, you know, I mean, all the boats rise, right, is so simple. And so, I mean, you'd have to add events. And I know we're adding one in December, but just,
yeah,
you know, implementing this a few times a year. And I mean, I love the idea about having a couple of LPGA players on full swing. I hope that's something that they're at least thinking about, because they live in the same area. They play golf at the same places.
Yeah. We need Minji and Min Woo Lee together.
Yes. I mean, this is so easy.
So
like,
fun.
You know, you go to one of the like Bulls Bay or something, and you get a couple players that play out of there and they practice out of there and they probably play a lot of golf together. I remember years ago I was at Medalist, and I think it was Allison Walsh was telling me how often they played with Ricky, you know? And again, like,
yeah,
what's the game? I want to know more about that. What's the game you play? What's the difference in tees? Who wins, who loses? I mean, these are simple ways to get more interest in terms of the LPGA Tour, because it's been blowing up over the last couple of years, and it's only going to continue to, you know, peak in terms of interest. But yeah, I think you're, I mean, for 1 minute of thinking, your sister kind of nailed it. This is really good.
Yeah. Sure, let me think about this. I put my phone down and I have 8 text messages.
She's like, let me think. Actually, I got it. I nailed it. That is awesome. All right. So PGA Championship for you.
Yes.
And then what else you got this summer? You going to the US Open? You going to LA?
Yes. And then
okay.
Travelers, because it's close.
Yep. Hey, I was talking to Travelers yesterday, and they want us to play a practice round together, or a pro-am round together.
Oh,
so I said,
fun.
We could probably make that work.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah. I have to get that on the schedule.
Were you at their media day?
Yeah. A couple of days ago, I wasn't there. It was, again.
Oh yeah. Me neither.
I mean, I'm laying horizontal right now. I got back from a couple of trips. I'm just trying to maintain Claire. I'm just trying
before
to keep
you
myself
leave for your next one.
That's right. Before I go 8 days or whatever, but I'll be at the PGA Championship as well. So I'll definitely connect with you there. Always appreciate the time.
Perfect.
Tell people where they can read you, find you, listen to you, all that stuff.
K Claire Rogers on Twitter and Instagram. And then, or do you have a question?
No, I was going to ask. I wanted to add, this is something I wanted to ask you off the top, and I forgot to ask you. What's going on with Twitter, Claire? Because I'm on Twitter way less than I used to be. I mean, I was very involved in Twitter, like, you know, when I first joined, whatever, 10 years
ago.
I mean, it's been a long time. But I typically will get on Twitter in, like, the evenings when NBA's on, or some sporting event that's maybe not golf. I want to just see some crazy play or some, you know, like a bad tech or something like that. I want to see what the reaction is. I can't even find reactions anymore.
No.
Like I feel like I go on the app and I don't even see what people are saying that I follow. Are you seeing a slight difference in what you're experiencing with Twitter?
I was just talking about this last night. It is, let me open it. You have your For You page. And then following, but following is like 90% ads.
Right, right, right. Yes.
And then For You, I don't know why I'll see like Augusta, Georgia politics Twitter. I don't know if it's because.
You follow that account?
No, but I don't follow it.
I'm
like, I was at Augusta once or in Augusta, Georgia, And it's just stuff I don't follow, or it's Barstool drama with like, I follow Foreplay and all this, but I don't follow like all the other accounts.
Right.
And I end up in that more than anything else. And I just feel like I'm not seeing my, like Dylan's tweets. I'm not seeing.
Totally agree. And like when you pop up, like you, I was looking the other day and you had a tweet, and I had this happen with you and with Homa.
Max.
It is so weird to not see the verified check. And it takes you like 10 seconds
yeah.
to realize that it's actually that account you're following.
And Max doesn't have the blue check, and he changes photo.
Yes.
I noticed.
Yes.
So they don't pop at all anymore.
it throws me off.
Exactly. So I don't need a blue check, but like the professional athletes need them, because it needs to be able to catch your eye a little bit.
Totally. And so do you think that, again, I mean, you're a person I would lean on heavily in terms of knowing and understanding social media. Where are we going? Like, where is it going to be Instagram? I mean, is it going to be more TikTok stuff? Like, where are we going to get this level of information? Because I know Jack at Twitter, you know, the old CEO at Twitter, I know he started a couple of apps that are supposed to be similar to old Twitter, but are we going to go there, or are we just going to kind of stick it out with Twitter?
I feel like we're going to have to stick it out, right? Because it's hard, like, Max isn't going to get 500,000 followers like that over on a new app. Yeah,
I know. So yeah, I know.
It's very annoying. And I like how Twitter is different than Instagram, because you can just be witty and you don't have to present this image, you know? So I don't know. I think I've learned to accept it, but I was definitely very annoyed at the start.
Yeah, it bums me out. Honestly, it kind of bums me out, because I knew at some point in my life it was going to kind of go away.
Yeah.
I mean, everything kind of ends. You think about Facebook and MySpace and you know, all those apps that were so huge for so long. and they've obviously kind of aged out, but Twitter was all, I mean, I'm like you, Claire. Twitter was always my thing. You know, it was, you didn't have to post beautiful pictures. It didn't have to be perfect video. You could just be silly and stupid. And that was what was great about Twitter. And I hate the fact that, and I even see less like interaction from people and things like that. And it bums me out. Again, going back to the getting old thing. It's like, oh, Twitter. Oh, remember the days.
Back in the day? Take me back to a year ago.
Back in the day, man.
Yeah.
Ah, give me back the old Twitter. Claire, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much. I'll see you at the PGA.
Thanks so much.
A big thanks to Claire for jumping on. Make sure you follow Claire on social media and read all the stuff she does. Very, very, very creative, very funny, and a must listen, must watch, and must read as well. Just a reminder, back9press.com/bacon for the Golfer Zoo. goodwalkcoffee.com/bacon for the Bacon's Breakfast Blend medium roast coffee. Get yourself involved. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and we'll be back next week.